once you catch those thoughts and notice the ripples of emotion that they pass through your body, you can take a step back and just notice that they're there. But that doesn't mean you have to act on them. It doesn't mean that it's saying anything about your character. They're there or they're not there. And that's it. We actually have no control over the thoughts that travel through our mind, but we do have control over the ones we engage with.
Welcome to Motherhood in ADHD. I'm your friend, Patricia Sun. My mission is to be a lighthouse for mothers with ADHD, helping you find your path to success by learning to appreciate your ADHD as an asset. I'm seeking to change the paradigm that ADHD means your life is doomed to be a hot mess. So I'm sharing strategies and encouraging you in your pursuit of happiness to love who you are every day of your ADHD life. Hey there, successful mama. It's your friend, Patricia Sung. I hope you had a chance to listen to the first two episodes of our conversation with Tasha Post of ADHD Yoga, when we talked about her ADHD journey, and then in part two about ADHD brains and mindfulness. Today, we're talking about what mindfulness is and what it isn't, the four parts of mindfulness, why our ADHD brains struggle with it, and what we can do about it. We also talk about how to do mindfulness in the everyday and with our kids. As a heads up, about halfway through the episode, Tasha is going to ask you to grab a tasty beverage and join us in a few minutes of peaceful bliss while Tasha walks us through a short mindfulness exercise. But before we get back to our brains, let's do a quick shout out to MomTom3. Her review says, "A true lighthouse, especially during COVID. Really so blessed to have found your podcast." Thank you, MomTom3. I am also so blessed to have you and you, Mama, here as part of my community and my ADHD support group. Now, Mama, please leave a review on whatever platform you're listening on if you haven't done so already. And with that, let's welcome back Tasha.
Tell me a little bit about what mindfulness actually is instead of sitting there like oming. So like, let's start there. What does it actually mean and what does it look like in real life?
Okay, cool. Oh, I'm so excited. Okay, I'm going to try and be clear. There's a big researcher, Jon Kabat-Zinn. He's an author and researcher on mindfulness. So I'm going to use his definition of mindfulness. So it's a type of meditation. So meditation is a bigger category. Mindfulness is kind of like a subset. And mindfulness is paying attention on purpose to the present moment, non-judgmentally. So it's kind of like four pieces. I'll go through each one of those things in a little bit more detail. Okay. So going to the first piece, paying attention. I mean, if you say that to an ADHDer, I think we already have anxiety and like tightness in our chest. Like you just kind of already freak out. You're like, this is literally like what I can't do. So
you're like, why is that your first job?
Right. Yeah. No, I fail. And so the thing is like you said, you already touched on it. Like there's this preconceived idea of what mindfulness is. It's, I think a lot of misconception about mindfulness is that we need to sit still. You cannot move. You cannot think. And you cannot have emotions. And that's not true. That's not what it is. So for the first piece, that paying attention, a lot of us think that it means holding your attention on the present moment, not letting it budge. And that's not what an ADHD brain is meant to do. But the thing is that's not really what mindfulness means. Mindfulness is not holding your attention on something. It is deciding what you're going to pay attention to, trying to keep it there as much as you can, and then noticing when it wanders off and bringing it back. So it's this dynamic equilibrium of just constantly noticing it drift and bring it back. So when ADHDers are like, I can't pay attention, that's okay. You're not trying to always pay attention. You're actually just redirecting your attention. You're not holding it in one place. You're redirecting it back as soon as you're noticing it drift. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think again, that goal of perfectionism, where we have to be right here centered the whole time or it's a failure is what gets us. And that instead, what I think what I'm hearing is it's more about watching the changes and then redirecting them back in. So it is expected that your mind is not going to stay right here. It is expected that it will drift over here and be like, okay, I see that you went there. Now we're going to come back.
Yeah.
And that it should be effortful in that like training process. Like, I don't know if mindfulness is supposed to be effortful.
It can be. It's not supposed to be easy. Like in theory, it's very simple. You're just paying attention to the moment. You're bringing your attention back and back to something you decided you're going to pay attention to. But in practice, that's hard. I mean, over time with practice, as you do it more and more, you'll notice your attention drifting less often or you'll catch it quicker. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you'll realize 10 minutes have passed and you're thinking about your to-do list and you hadn't even noticed that your mind drifted away from your breath. Mm-hmm. And so that's where ADHDers, we get upset because we think, frick, I only decided to spend 10 minutes meditating and this whole time I've been thinking about what I need to do tomorrow. I failed. Mm-hmm. But you didn't. You noticed at the end of that 10 minutes that your attention drifted. You know, you noticed. And then you can bring it back. That is actually the attention piece. It is just bringing it back and back and noticing when it drifts off. And with practice, you notice when it's drifted off a lot sooner. And then eventually it feels like it's not really drifting at all with enough practice. You may never get to that point. I'm not expecting that I'll get to that point. But it feels more like you're holding your attention after years of practice. So that's the paying attention piece, okay?
Okay.
It's not you're not holding your attention on one thing. You keep bringing it back. You notice when it drifts off and you kindly, sweetly, patiently, and compassionately bring it back. You be nice to yourself. You don't beat yourself up. You don't make it mean that you failed. So the next piece is paying attention on purpose. So you're actually picking the object of your attention here. So you decide in your practice what you're going to pay attention to. You can decide to pay attention to your breath. You can decide to pay attention to a candle. You can decide to pay attention to sounds, but you're going to pick a thing that you're keeping your attention on, okay? So you're not just sitting and just letting it wander around because that's a different brain activity. You're picking a thing to attend to. Okay. And then the present moment. So you're paying attention to the present moment. But in any given present moment, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of things going on. So you can pick many from many things to pay attention to. And they can be external things that you pay attention to. And they can be internal things that you can pay attention to because all kinds of stuff is happening at any given moment. So for external things, some examples are that you could pay attention to your senses. You could just have a seat and decide you're just going to pay attention to the input you're getting in your eyes and just pay attention to the things you see in your room. You can also pay attention to sound or your sense of touch or movement. Those are all more external things that you can keep bringing your attention back to. Then more internal things, you can actually mindfully pay attention to your emotions or you can more internal sensations. So you can pay attention to your breath. That's a very, very common mindfulness practice is paying attention to your breath. And even your breath itself has many different things that you can pay attention to. You can pay attention to the expansion in your rib cage, to the temperature of your breath in your nose, to the sound of your breath as it comes in and out. Those are all still things in the present moment that you're anchoring your attention to. Then more internal mind things you could pay attention to. You can pay attention to your emotions or you can pay attention to your thoughts. Those are trickier because it becomes very, very hard not to get tangled up in them. But those are things that you can mindfully pay attention to. And then the last piece of this is being non-judgmental. This, I think, is where a lot of confusion happens. I think a lot of people, not just ADHDers, I think when they hear the term non-judgmental, they feel like they're not allowed to really have emotions. You need to be neutral all the time. And so they feel like if they have an emotion bubble up, like boredom or even enjoyment or something like that, that that's a judgment and they're not supposed to do it. And again, I've failed at mindfulness. But that's not true. Emotions are experiences. They're things that happen in any moment. So you can have all kinds of emotions. And as you slow down, emotions that you were probably trying to avoid can bubble up because you're not being busy. So emotions are created by our thoughts. And thoughts, they're just things that happen to us. They just kind of drift in and out of our mind, in and out of a consciousness. So an emotion and our thoughts are just experiences that we have. So that means that you can actually mindfully, non-judgmentally watch positive, neutral, and negative emotions, which is a really healthy thing to do. So the difference between being judgmental with an emotion and just being an objective, non-judgmental experiencer of an emotion is if you notice, like in this practice, that you're getting frustrated, because a lot of ADHDers may get frustrated, and that's okay. So you might sit there and notice that you're getting frustrated. And then if you want to mindfully sit with it, You can be objective. You observe it in your body. So you can think, I'm having the experience of frustration. I feel a tightness in my chest. I feel my shoulders shrugging up to my ears. I notice my thoughts getting faster and my heart is racing. So that's not judgment. You're having a negative experience, but you're observing it objectively. It's just data you're collecting there. You've labeled it, you've observed it, you've watched it move through your body, and you can sit with it. And then you can also watch it dissipate. You can notice that it peaks and then kind of dissipates. So that is a mindful practice of noticing emotion, something more internal.
I don't think with ADHD, we do too much of the like just watching it.
Yeah.
And then let it kind of like the wave crest and fall. Like we get so amped up in the rising that we don't even let it hit that like natural exit.
Yeah, we don't wait. Like we like act on the peak and then that's it. And then we just live in regret.
Yes.
So we have a very quick peak too. We don't have a lot of time between the onset of that emotion and the acting on that emotion, you know? And I think the practice with mindfulness is that it actually kind of drags that peak out so you can actually feel it. You become more observant of those emotions ramping up so that you can catch them before you act on them and regret them later. But yeah, so the emotion piece, I wanted to touch on that, the non-judgmental aspect, because I really do think that that's a piece that not just ADHDers get stuck on, but people in general learning mindfulness get stuck on, that non-judgment means emotional neutrality. And that's not
like zero emotion as opposed to watching it.
Yeah.
And letting it be.
Yeah. You're taking a step back and observing it. You're like watching your own experience happen from a distance.
Yeah. And I think that's difficult when you have ADHD because you hit that peak so fast that a lot of times we don't realize that we can't even separate ourselves.
Yeah.
From that experience.
Yeah. And we think that too, because the thing is, again, our emotions come from thoughts that we have, and our thoughts are so fast. As ADHDers, we think every thought that runs through our head is also true. And that's another thing that comes with mindfulness is you can, if you get in the practice of taking a step back and watching the thoughts wash through and just like sail through your mind, you realize like what's true and what's not, and that you aren't your thoughts. Not everything is fact. And then once you catch those thoughts and notice the ripples of emotion that they pass through your body, you can take a step back and just notice that they're there. But that doesn't mean you have to act on them. It doesn't mean that it's saying anything about your character. They're there or they're not there. And that's it. We actually have no control over the thoughts that travel through our mind, but we do have control over the ones we engage with. That's what happens when we start believing that they're fact and when we think that they're true and when we start letting them ramp us up. That's what we have control over. And that's, again, what mindfulness is taking a step back and observing as opposed to engaging.
Hey, Mama, have you been over to my website and grabbed any of the free ADHD resources I've got? You can make your mornings more peaceful, overcome time blindness hurdles, learn ways to treat your ADHD beyond the obvious medication option, or grab a copy of all of my favorite ADHD resources on one page. You can snag these all on my website at patriciasung.com/resources, and I'll email you the PDF or the video. Now, don't go putting in your spammy junk email, okay? I'm not gonna send you junk. I email you once, maybe twice a week. For sure, I'll send you a note about this week's podcast topic, and if I'm having a particularly organized week, I might email you again about what's working for my ADHD this week, or venting about whatever executive function disaster happened. Your inbox is where I spill more of the beans. And if you change your mind, you can always unsubscribe, right? Plus, I really love hearing back from you. So write me an email back. Tell me what's going on in your life or what you want to learn about next. So go grab those free goodies and I'll see you in your inbox.
So Jon Kabat-Zinn uses this analogy that I love about mindfulness, that basically your thoughts and our emotions and the activity in our mind is like a river. The traffic going through, we don't have control over it. It's just passing through this river. And mindfulness is the practice of sitting on the riverbank and watching it go by. And ADHDers are very much in the practice of jumping straight down into that river. You know, we watch those thoughts go by and then we jump in that river and we chase after them. That's where the problems come. That's why we have that impulsiveness and that reactivity to them. Mindfulness is sitting on the riverbank and watching them go, which I really love as an analogy. So that was not a short explanation, but that is mindfulness.
Okay, mamas, Tasha is going to lead us through a mindfulness activity. But before we do, I want to go through my lightning round questions. And then that way we can all end on this beautiful soft note of our practice today. So lightning round. All you have to do is complete the sentence. Oh, number one, the best thing I've read or listened to recently is?
The Testaments by Margaret Atwood.
Number two, my most boring about me fact is?
I'm right-handed.
Number three, when I'm having a rough day, my go-to quote, song, poem, book, activity, whatever is?
Oh, my dad used to say this to me. The extra 5 hours of work is not worth the extra 5%. I would spend hours studying to go from a 90 to a 95. Not worth it.
That is good advice, Dad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number four, don't tell anyone I
was going to say I killed a pothos plant because those are super, super resilient, but I told everyone that's all over my Instagram. So you can tell whoever you want.
Don't tell anyone I can't keep creatures alive.
Yeah.
All right. Number five, if I had a magic fairy wand for one spell, I would?
Fly.
Ooh, that sounds
is that a spell? I'd fly.
And number six, my best piece of advice for mamas with ADHD is?
Be really open about your own experience with ADHD if you have it. I think that would help. That creates a lot of shame resilience. Really open with your own experiences.
Okay. Now, before we get into our demonstration, how can the moms connect with you? If they're like, man, Tasha's my girl. I want to know what she's up to. Tell them like, what do you do and how do they find you?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm a yoga teacher. I have an online yoga studio. So you can come. I have an online membership. You can go to my website, adhdyoga.ca or adhdyoga.com. Both will take you to the same place.
I will put those in the show notes.
Yeah. Okay. And you can join me there. I have a recorded library of yoga practices as well as mindful practices. You could also find me on Instagram, which is adhd.yoga. And every Monday, I do mindfulness Instagram lives from 12 to 12:30 Eastern Standard Time. So you could join me for a little mindfulness practice. I have them for half an hour, but that's really just to let the ADHDers trickle in and be late and then trickle away. The practice is usually about 17 minutes itself.
Okay. You know, we need all the accommodations we can get.
Yeah. So. Yeah. All sorry. Right. It, my website and Instagram, and on my website you can also find my email address if you want to send me an email. You can also DM me on Instagram. I'm pretty much on there all the time, so you
can find me. All right, well, mamas, I'm going to turn the microphone over to Tasha, and she's going to lead us through a little mindfulness exercise. I'm sure she's going to give us instructions. She had me get ready here. Mm-hmm. So
my friends, I'm going to guide you through a mindful drinking practice. So you can pause the podcast right now if you want and prepare yourself a drink. It can be anything really. You can grab some tea, a coffee, hot chocolate, just whatever you prefer. And then when your drink is ready, you can come take a seat. You can sit on the floor if you want, sit on a cushion, or you can sit on a chair and place your feet on the floor and then take a nice tall seat. You can take a nice tall seat. And a nice seat that what Jon Kabat-Zinn says embodies dignity. So you want to slightly draw your shoulders back, stack your head over your shoulders, and then just kind of softly let your body sink down. So your heart is nice and open. Just take a couple moments here just to breathe. Inhale and let your body fill in your low belly, fill in, then let that breath rise up to your chest. And exhale, let it back out. And take one more breath like that. And let it out. So the great thing about mindfulness is you can do formal and informal practices, which means that any activity that you do in your day can become a mindful practice because you can bring your attention to the present moment, the senses or sensations going on. So today you're going to bring your attention to your drink. So having a drink is something that we do without thinking about it, and usually something that we do when we're doing something else. But today you're going to bring your full attention to having this drink. Really turn your attention to all of your senses, and I'll guide you through them. So you can slowly open your eyes if they're not already open. and pick up your cup and hold it in your hand. Now just turn your attention to your cup and look at it like you've never seen it before. This is what's called a beginner's mind. So even if you've held this cup a million times, look at it now like you've never seen it before. You can move it around. Notice the edges of it. The shape of it. Notice the colors. How many are there? There are colors there that you've never noticed before. Bring your attention to the texture. Maybe even any imperfections. Any odd characteristics you've never noticed before that make it distinct. And turn your attention to the actual liquid itself inside the cup. Notice its color. If the color changes depending on the light. And its movement. Any steam rolling off of it. Bring your awareness to the patterns. And then bring your attention to your sense of touch. You can close your eyes if that makes it a little easier. And just move your hands over your cup and notice the textures. And then notice if you move your hands around, if you notice a change in temperature. Where in your hands you feel that the most. And then notice the weight of the cup in your hands. And hold it there. And then you can slowly guide and lift the cup up towards your face. Don't take a sip yet. Just lift it up towards your face. And bring your attention to your sense of smell. You may also notice that you feel a change in temperature as the cup comes closer to your face. You may notice that lifting the cup up towards your face was a perfectly coordinated movement that you barely had to think of. And then bring your attention to your sense of smell. Notice all the different aromas. Any sweetness, any nuttiness. Take a deep inhale. See how many aromas you can just notice. And as you're here, you might realize and you may notice your attention drift away. And just know that that's perfectly okay. When you notice it drift, guide your attention back very gently and kindly back to these sensations. The heat, the smell, the weight, and the sights. Now prepare to take your sip, but don't swallow it right away. So notice the coordination of your muscles as you lift the cup to your lips and take a sip and hold it. Notice the coordination of all of the muscles, your tongue, your teeth, your lips, as it holds the fluid in your mouth. and bring your attention to your sense of taste. Notice if your sense of taste changes if you move your drink around your mouth. And then prepare to swallow. So notice the impulse to notice the coordination of your muscles as it moves it back. Notice the sounds it makes as the liquid moves. And then follow your awareness all the way down your throat. Follow the liquid as it comes down into your belly. Notice if you can feel kind of residual temperature in your throat and stomach. Try to hold your attention there with it. And again, if it drifts off, just bring it back. And then expand that awareness from your belly to the rest of your body. Just sit here in this moment, not needing to do anything else. Just aware of the moment as it's unfolding. And you don't need to do anything but be here with it. And again, if your attention wanders, just bring it back to the awareness of your body or the sensations. Then take a nice deep inhale in and rejoin your body here with your mind. And very slowly open your eyes and bring your awareness back to your surroundings. Take a couple nice deep breaths. You can either continue to have your drink this way mindfully as you take your next sip, or just continue on your day. I hope that was nice and peaceful.
Thank you so much for being here today.
No problem. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to Motherhood and ADHD. For more resources, head over to our website, www.motherhoodinadhd.com.